الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وبعد. Before beginning Ikhwan, I was reminded of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yashkur Allah man la yashkur al-nas. He has not thanked Allah who has not thanked the people. So I wanted to thank my brother Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi, hafidhah Allah ta'ala, for the invitation tonight and allowing me to come up and speak to the brothers in this community. And my brother has always been a very generous brother to me. When coming to the city of Philadelphia or our area, always coming to visit or asking for us, and the likes of this. And there's no doubt that this is what we find that causes love between the hearts of the believers. So I wanted to firstly thank our brother, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, for such a generous invitation. The issue tonight that we wanted to discuss, inshallah ta'ala, ikhwan, wal akhawat. And this is addressing not only the brothers, but most certainly the sisters as well. As our Prophet Muhammad said in the authentic narration, authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, An-nisa shaqa'iq al-rijal, that the women are the twins of the men. And Shaykh Nasser, he mentioned regarding this narration, or the sisters of the men, we should say, that the Shaykh Nasser mentioned in the explanation of this narration, is that whenever there is a general narration, then the women share in that address. Then the women share in that address. Unless there is something specific in that narration that is for the women as opposed to the men, or specific for the men as opposed to the women. So this address that we are giving tonight, inshallah ta'ala, is general. Whether it be for the men or be for the women, is a reminder. Bi'ithnillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. We also want to mention the authentic narration of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innama bu'ith li utim min makarim al-akhlaq. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the authentic narration that I have only been sent to perfect good character and good conduct. And as the scholars have mentioned regarding this narration, that of course our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with more than just the perfection of good character and good conduct. But the reason why our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified this in this narration that the scholars have mentioned is to show the great importance of good character and good conduct and etiquette in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no question that in following the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors of this ummah, it is a following ikhwan in the aqidah. It is a following in the creed. It is a following in the manhaj. That methodology that is the practical application of the creed of the Salaf al-Salih, and is also ikhwan, the adab of the Salaf, and the mu'amalah. It is also the character and conduct of the Salaf al-Salih, and is also the dealings between the people. How the Salaf al-Salih dealt with one another, how they dealt with the non-Muslims, how they dealt with those who are not from the affair of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. All of this ikhwan falls under the category of following the Salaf al-Salih. This mu'amalah, these dealings with the people, it is taken directly ikhwan from the sources of the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon the methodology of the Salaf al-Salih. So we want to examine tonight, inshallah ta'ala, how we must be with one another, how we should treat one another as Muslims. And more specifically, as we will see, ikhwan, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, how we are to treat those who perhaps want to enter into the path of a da'wah salafiyah, and the importance of rifq, waleen, ease and gentleness with the lives of these individuals. And we hope to read tonight, ikhwan, from some of the narrations from our Prophet Muhammad sallam, and of course the ayat from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will read specifically also from some fatawa of Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahallahu ta'ala, and also Shaykhuna Shaykh Rabi' hafidhahallahu ta'ala. And we first wanted to mention ikhwan, the narration collected by Imam Muslim fi Sahihih, عن معاوية بن الحكم السلمي رضي الله عنه. The companion Mu'awiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulaymi, Ikhwan, may Allah be pleased with him. Where he said, بينما أنا أصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ عطس رجل من القوم فقلت يرحمك الله فرمان القوم بأبصارهم. In the beginning of this narration, it mentions that he said, while we were praying with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the people sneezed in the salah. And Muawiyah said, I said after this, Yarhamakallah, in the middle of the prayer. Now it should be mentioned, Ikhwan, as the scholars have explained from them, Imam al-Nawawi, and other than them, in the explanation of this narration, that at this period, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulaymi was new to al-Islam. He was new to al-Islam, and therefore perhaps did not know the likes of these etiquettes of the salat and these criteria of the salat, and therefore made this particular mistake of saying Arhamakallah on the salat. And he mentions that some of the people began to look in his direction. فَقُلْتُ وَثْلَكَ أُمَّيَاهُ مَا شَأْنُكُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And then he said, Ikhwan, may your mothers be bereaved of you. And this is a statement the Arabs would make of old, of yani, of showing amazement at the actions of a people. So may your mothers lose you, and may your mothers be bereaved of you. Why are they looking at me, or why are you looking at me? In this narration, فَجَعَلُوا يَضْرِبُونَ بِأَيْدِهِمْ عَلَى أَفْخَاذِهِمْ. So they began to strike upon their thighs. Yani, in other words, trying to silence him, trying to cause him to remain quiet. So when he saw this, he said, لَكِنِّي سَكَتْ. I remained quiet. فَلَمَّا صَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَبِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْتُ أَحْسِنْ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي قَالَ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةَ لَا يَصْلُحْ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنْ كَلَامِ النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ لِلتَّسْبِيحِ وَتَكْبِيرٍ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. Now this narration, Ikhwan, there is a number of benefits that we can take from this, as the scholars have explained this in a number of their works. But what we see here specifically is in the end of this narration, he says, and by my mother and my father, I have never seen a teacher before him, nor after him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have never seen a teacher before him, nor after him, who was better in teaching, who had a better style or a better way and manner in teaching. He says, and by Allah, he did not yell at me, and he did not beat me, and he did not curse me. But rather, he merely said to me that indeed this prayer, it is not correct to say anything from the speech of the people inside of the prayer, but rather the prayer is for tasbih, saying subhanallah, and for takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and for qira'atul Quran, and for the recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is benefited from this narration is this, that we see the gentleness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dealings with his companions. First of all, our Prophet understood who he was addressing, Ikhwan. Someone who was new to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who perhaps did not have the proper understanding regarding the etiquettes of the prayer, and therefore made this particular error. But when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed this, he was careful, Ikhwan, to come to Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulaymi in a very gentle fashion. The fashion of a teacher who cares about the one who he wants to educate. The one who cares about the feelings of the one he wants to teach and educate, and is most concerned that this person benefits from that which he has to bring to him. For indeed, Ikhwan, when a person brings someone information in this fashion of what Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did, we see the results of that. What did Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulaymi say, Ikhwan? He said, Wallahi, I did not see anyone before him nor after him who was better in teaching. We did not see anyone before him or after him who was better in their etiquette and their style of teaching. He did not yell at me. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't curse me. Nor did he beat me. But rather, he merely taught me that the prayer is not, it is not befitting in the prayer that one makes the likes of these statements from the speech of the people. But rather, he went on to teach him, Ikhwan, that the salah is for the takbir, the tasbih, وقراءة القرآن. This is how we must be, Ikhwan, in learning the etiquette of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dealing with the people. Most specifically, Ikhwan, those who come to us to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who come to us from the different sects and the different parties and the different schisms. And as we'll see from some of the statements of Sheikh Muqbil later on, Ikhwan, from the ignorant and the common folk from amongst them, that if they knew the truth, they would enter into it. We hope and believe that if they knew the truth, they would enter into it. We're not talking about the haughty and the obstinate and the likes of them, but those who come to us, Ikhwan, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not for us to turn them away, to be harsh, and to be severe upon them, but rather to learn the etiquette of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dealings with the people. And we see in this narration of Mu'awiyah ibn al-Hakim al-Sulaymi how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the education of the Muslims. In another authentic narration, Ikhwan, again collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim fi sahihihima, and this narration is upon the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qal, جاء عربي في طائفة المسجد فبال في المسجد فزجروه الناس فنهوم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما قضى بوله أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بدلو من ماء فأهريق عليه. And we'll read a few different wordings of this narration بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى so as to bring about a maximum benefit, inshallah ta'ala. And this is what the scholars mentioned, Ikhwan, in the importance of jam' turuq, the importance of bringing together all of the wordings of the different narrations of a hadith so as to take benefit from what one narration may not have as opposed to another wording. This narration mentions, Ikhwan, that a Bedouin from the desert, he came into the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and began to urinate. He began to urinate in the masjid. And there were a number of people who became angry and were beginning to go to grab him and to stop him. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ forbade them from doing so. He stopped them. And after he stopped them, after he finished the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in this wording, it mentions that he commanded the people to bring forth a portion of water and to pour that water upon that spot so as to cleanse that area from the urine. وفي روايتي لمسلم, and in the wording in Muslim, it says, أن عربيا بال في المسجد فقام إليه بعض القوم فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوه ولا تزرموه قال فلما فرغ دعا بدلو من ماء فصب عليه. Again, in this wording of the narration, it mentions that this Bedouin came into the masjid and again he began to urinate and some of the people stood up to go to get him. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, leave him and do not grab him. Leave him and do not grab him. And when he finished, it mentions that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ again commanded that a portion of water be brought and poured upon that particular area. وفي رواية أن عربيا قام إلى ناحية في المسجد فبال فيها فصاح به الناس فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوه فلما فرغ أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بدلو من ماء فصب على بوله. And in another wording in Sahih Muslim, it mentions that this a Bedouin came and urinated in a place in the masjid, and the people yelled at him. The people began to raise their voices and they began to yell at him. And Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم again said, دعوه, leave him. And it mentions that when he finished, again the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded that a portion of water be brought and poured upon that area. Now what is important, Ikhwan, is what we see in the wording of Abi Dawood and the wording of Ahmed ibn Hanbal. The wording in the Sunan of Abi Dawood and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, where it mentions that when this took place, when this incident took place, this Arabi said, may Allah have mercy on me, Muhammad, and you, and no one else. May Allah have mercy on me, and you, and no one else. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ responded, Ikhwan, again showing the beautiful teaching of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, said, indeed you have tried to constrict that which is expansive. You have tried to restrict the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to two people in this narration when it is expansive over all of the creation. So therefore we see, Ikhwan, from this narration, as the scholars have mentioned, that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ looked at the condition of this individual, the Bedouin or the desert Arab who came into the masjid, Ikhwan, who did not have the understanding of the etiquettes of the masjid. As the scholars have mentioned regarding this narration, from them Ibn Hajar and from them Imam al-Nawawi, that this individual, being from the Bedouins, did not have the knowledge of the sittings of knowledge and the circles of knowledge, of ilm, regarding the etiquettes of the masjid. And therefore, when he came into the masjid, he performed something that may have been normal to him in the desert areas, because he was not familiar with the knowledge of the etiquettes of the masjid. So therefore, our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he noticed this. He took this into account, who he was dealing with. And this is what is for the da'i to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is for the Muslims, Ikhwan, and for Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in specific, Ikhwan. We have to understand the levels of the people. We must know the conditions of those who we are calling. We must understand the level of the people that we hope to enter into the Dawah to Salafia with us, Ikhwan and Akhawat. Understanding that our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you has believed until you want for your brother or your sister what you want for yourself, من الخير, from good. And there is no doubt that we want guidance for ourselves. And there is no doubt that we want guidance for our family members. So therefore, Ikhwan wa Akhawat, we must desire guidance for the people and hope that the people be guided, and therefore not be from those who block people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather open the ways and the means of calling the people to the da'wah to salafiyah. بِالرِّفْقِ وَالْلِينِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, having wisdom, and wisdom means putting everything in its proper place. And there is no doubt that there is a time for harshness, but there's also a time for leniency. And the caller must know these circumstances and the instances of when to implement what. And as we'll see from Sheikh Sheikh Muqbil, that there is a time for roughness and harshness, and it has its place. But there's also a time for leniency and ease and rifq, and that comes in knowing the condition of the people. And therefore, if a person comes into the masjid who may not have the proper understanding of a da'wah salafiyah, perhaps there was someone, Ikhwan, who was yesterday from the Jamaatul Tabligh, or someone who was yesterday from the Wallace D community, or someone who was yesterday from the Hizbis of Abu Muslimah and the likes of them. But now they come to you. They have heard of the good that the people are doing. They have heard of the implementation and the application of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are interested in hearing more. They are interested in learning about the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are interested in learning about that which they find from the people in the growing of their beards and the raising of their lower garments and the sisters covering themselves properly, and that which they may have read of or heard of. They are interested. They have a natural inclination, Ikhwan, to hear more about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Salafis. And one of them enters into the masjid, and because she is not a person of the Sunnah yet, she may not cover in a fashion that we know of that is correct. Or maybe it's a person, Ikhwan, from a man who doesn't know him that much about the Sunnah. And he comes into the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and perhaps his pants are dragging. We're not saying this is not a time to teach the people. As we saw in the narration of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he took the opportunity to teach his companion Muawiyah what is proper and what is correct. But it is the way that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ taught him. It is the fashion and the manner that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ taught him, bringing to him proofs and evidences from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Not yelling at him, not cursing him, not being harsh towards him, understanding he was new to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even this Arabi, Ikhwan, who urinated, and urine is najis, urinated in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Prophet Muhammad ﷺ understood the level of this individual. He understood he was from those, Ikhwan, who were not in the circles of knowledge and the lessons of knowledge, and therefore understood that it was important first and foremost not to grab him for more than one reason. This is the hikmah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. For if the people grabbed him, then the urine would have gotten all over the place. So the Prophet ﷺ understood that to allow him to urinate in that one area was better than to grab him, have him urinate all over the place. Wisdom, Ikhwan. applying wisdom in our dealings with the people. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Ikhwan, looked at the circumstance and the situation, and he weighed the benefits and the harms of the entire situation. He weighed the benefits and the harms of the entire situation, Ikhwan, and then therefore advised his ummah. And the da'i ila Allah, the caller to Allah specifically, and the Salafis and the Muslims in general, Ikhwan, must be in this way. Must look at a circumstance and a situation and weigh those benefits and those harms. What is going to be more beneficial under every circumstance? Under every circumstance. And we are not saying that this is not a time to teach the people. This is not a time to correct the error. This is not a time, Ikhwan, to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. It is a perfect opportunity to teach the people the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, Ikhwan, it is the how. It is the how that is being brought into the question or the understanding regarding these narrations that we have mentioned. We also wanted to bring tonight, inshallah ta'ala, the tremendous narration of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, where it mentions, Ikhwan, that a Yahud marra bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa qala assalamu alaykum, that a Jew passed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he twisted his tongue up, Ikhwan, and instead of saying assalamu alaykum, he said assalamu alaykum, or like to say poison be upon you or death be upon you, Muhammad. And our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam merely said wa alaykum. But when Aisha heard this, Ikhwan, our mother Aisha radhiallahu anha, who had love for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had ghira, jealousy for her husband, and love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when she heard this, she became angry. And she said, wa alaykum, the same. Wa la'natullah, O brothers of the pigs and the swines and the likes of this. Aisha, yani, gave them the business, as they say. And it mentions in the narration, Ikhwan, that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he said, ya Aisha, laysa hakadha, it is not like this, ya Aisha. She said, O Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, did you not hear what he said? And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, Ya Aisha, did you not hear what I said? Huh? Listen to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Ikhwan. He said after this, Ikhwan, إِنَّ الرِّفْقِ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الزَّانَةِ وَلَا يُنْزَعْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الشَّانَةِ. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, Ikhwan, in this tremendous narration, he said, indeed, rifq, leniency and ease, is not entered into something except that it beautifies that thing. And it's not removed from something except that it disfigures that thing and makes that thing ugly. So therefore we find, look at this narration, Ikhwan. This is a Jew who said, death be upon you, Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad, Ikhwan, teaching the ummah how, Ikhwan, to contain themselves and to have rifq and lean and ease in the affairs, in their mu'amala, and the benefit, as the scholars have mentioned regarding these affairs, he taught his wife Aisha and our mother Aisha this tremendous narration in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, Ikhwan, that rifq and lean is not entered into something except that it beautifies that thing, and is not removed except that it disfigures that thing and makes that thing ugly. The scholars have mentioned, Ikhwan, if this is how it is in this narration with a Jew who spoke to the Prophet Muhammad in this fashion, how much more the Muslim? How much more the Muslim, Ikhwan, especially the one who is ignorant and doesn't know any better? How much more the one, Ikhwan, who comes to you to learn the sunnah, who comes to you to ask questions and to benefit in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And because they are not upon the level that you may be upon today, they are greeted with roughness and harshness and difficulty in speech. And one of us nearly needs to look back, Ikhwan, to our circumstances. We merely need to look back at our circumstances, Ikhwan, and remember a time when someone called us to this da'wah to Salafi, Ikhwan, and advised us for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and were patient with us. Many of us, Ikhwan, can remember those days, Ikhwan. We can remember those times when a man may have told us the importance of growing the beard, and we can remember our snarking remarks that we may have made, or sucking our teeth
Or maybe one of the sisters can remember the first time someone told them the importance of covering their body for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wearing the niqab, wearing the jilbab, wearing the abaya, what have you. Maybe one of them can remember what they may have said. But that people were patient with them. And that people continued to call them and invite them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One merely needs to look back at their circumstances and remember themselves, ikhwan. And that is why Umar ibn Khattab, ikhwan, wallahi, in that tremendous statement where he said, ikhwan, ibda bi nafsik, start with yourselves. Start with yourselves, ikhwan. This is a perfect opportunity for you to call someone to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to invite to the way of your Lord, bil hikmati wal ma'idat al hasana. To call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good exhortation. And as we will see, ikhwan, in some of the coming statements, as the scholars of tafsir, the mufassirin, they say, ikhwan, that the meaning of calling with wisdom and good exhortation is calling the people according to their level of understanding. Look at Ibn Kathir's statement. Calling the people according to their level of understanding. A person comes in the masjid. Maybe they don't understand tawheed properly. Maybe they don't understand their Lord properly. And you go in about the affairs of gold, for example. A man is wearing gold. Maybe he comes in, ikhwan, barakallahu fik, just took shahada yesterday. Doesn't understand who his Lord is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a perfect opportunity to educate your new brother in Islam. A sister comes in the masjid and she may be wearing something of a pink khimar, whatever it may be. This is an opportunity for you to educate your sister in Islam. To greet her with a smiling face. To come to her with a smiling face. To invite her to some food. To invite her to some tea. To talk with her. To advise her, to remind her of her Lord. The importance of Tawheed. The importance of worshiping her Lord. What her Lord wants from her. And to remember that Allah says, ikhwan, that He sent the prophets as Mubashireen wa Mundireen. He sent them as givers of glad tidings and warners. Not just warners. But givers of glad tidings. Remind the people of what meets them. If they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From paradise and the pleasure of their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, ikhwan, the levels of the people. Call to your Lord, to the way of your Lord. Bil hikmati wal ma'idat al hasana. With wisdom and good exhortation. Remember what Ibn Kathir said. Remembering the levels of the people. Remembering the condition of the people that you call, ikhwan. For there is no way to go to a people who have no understanding whatsoever about their Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and begin to tell them that you can't do this and you can't do that. Not saying that we don't take the opportunity. That's not the point. But it's the methodology and the way and the means that we do so. Teaching them, ikhwan, shayun for shay. The tawheed, beginning with the tawheed, first and foremost. For when the people love their Lord and know their Lord, they are more inclined, ikhwan, to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear and leave off those things that are impermissible for them. As we'll see from the statements of Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil and also Shaykhuna Shaykh Rabi' bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. We're going to read now, ikhwan, from some advice from Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil rahimahallahu ta'ala regarding some questions that came to him from the Salafis of Afghanistan, from Afghanistan, regarding how to give da'wah to their people. Regarding how to give da'wah to their people. And there is no question, ikhwan, that though the Sheikh is now going to address the people of Afghanistan, and he's going to talk about the circumstances there in Yemen, but there's no question that we can benefit from these words of the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, as these statements are general, can be taken in a very general way, ikhwan. So as we say that what is considered is the general wording and not the specific circumstance, which is one of the principles, one of the qawa'id of al-Islam. The Shaykh, he said, ikhwan, after being asked how to give da'wah to the people there, the Shaykh said, الَّذِي أَنْصَحْ بِهِ هُوَ مَا نَصَحَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَبَا مُوسَى وَمُعَاذِ بْنِ جَبَلْ حَيْثُ قَالَهُمَا يَسِّرَا وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا وَبَشِّرَا وَلَا تُنَفِّرَا وَتَطَاوَعَا وَلَا تَخْتَلِفَا. He mentions, ikhwan, I advise you with that which the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ advised Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and also Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he sent them out, giving da'wah on the likes of this. He said, be easy upon the people and do not be difficult. Be easy upon people and do not be difficult. وَبَشِّرُوا أَوْ بَشِّرَا here وَلَتُنَفِّرَا. And the Prophet ﷺ said, give glad tidings and do not chase people away. Give glad tidings to people and do not run people away. As we mentioned, being harsh to them and coarse and rough with them, especially in circumstances when they don't know these affairs from their left, from their right. And then he says, and be obedient and do not differ. And then he says, وَجَاءَ فِي صَحِيحَيْن مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ. And in this other narration, it mentions, in another wording here, it mentions in the Sahihain, the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, indeed, you have been sent to be easy upon the people, and you have not been sent to be difficult upon the people. Who knows the circumstance of which Prophet Muhammad ﷺ made this statement? What was the circumstance? La, it's another narration. Fatanu anta ya Mu'adh. Huh? Now that's the first narration we talked about, Abu Musa and Mu'adh. This one about Anas ibn Malik is specific to a circumstance. I'll give you a hint. I already read it. No, I'm saying I already read the circumstance. Think about it. How many narrations have we mentioned so far? The Bedouin who urinated in the masjid. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned this ikhwan in the narration where the Bedouin urinated in the masjid. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said this to them when they were going to get him. He said, بُعِثْتُ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَا تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ. You have been sent to be easy upon the people and you have not sent to be harsh upon the people. Look at the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, taken as an opportunity to teach both parties of the believers. As we'll see from Shaykh Rabi inshallah ta'ala later on, ikhwan, this is an opportunity for all parties to benefit. It is an opportunity, ikhwan, as we see, for the Bedouin who urinated to be taught by Prophet Muhammad ﷺ proper etiquette of the masjid, and also the opportunity for those companions who were going to grab him, the opportunity to be taught the etiquette of how to deal with the people as well. So this is a tremendous benefit, ikhwan, that we find in that particular narration. وَبِمَا جَاءَ أَيْضًا فِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ لِعَائِشَةَ إِنَّ الرِّزْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الزَّانَةَ وَلَا يُنْزَعَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الشَّانَةَ. And also the narration that we just read, the narration that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said to Aisha, that indeed leniency and ease is not entered into something except that it beautifies that thing and is not removed from something except that it disfigures that thing and makes it ugly. The Shaykh, he continues after this, ikhwan, he mentions some other affairs. And he says, ثُمَّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْمُجْتَمِعُ هُوَ رَأْسُ مَالِنَا فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَن نُنَفِّرَ الْمُجْتَمِعُ نَدُ الْمُجْتَمِعُ إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. He said, and therefore, ikhwan, the mujtama, the society, these are the people that we have to deal with, that we have to live with. And therefore, it is not for us to chase the people away, but rather we call the people, ikhwan, to the book of Allah and to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we continue later on with the Shaykh says, فَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ إِنَّ إِخْوَانَنَا الْعَامَّةِ إِذَا سَقَطُوا عَلَيْنَا قَابَلْنَاهُمْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. The Shaykh says, if our brothers from the common folk, if they become angry or displeased with us, he says, we meet them with that which is better. We are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, ikhwan. We have to use hikmah and wisdom. We claim to have the understanding of the athar. And we have to understand that these people from the common folk, the general folk, and we're talking about the common folk now, who don't understand a lot of these umur, these affairs, who don't understand the likes of the left from the right, as we say in our language. That the Shaykh is saying here, ikhwan, in regards to that advice to the people of Afghanistan, if those people become angry and do things like this, the Shaykh says, we meet them and greet them with that which is better. With that which is better, ikhwan. And then the Shaykh says, وَشِيعَةُ فِي الْيَمِنِ نَحْنُ نَعْتَبِرُهُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ مُبْتَدِعَةً. The Shaykh says, for example, the Shia of Yemen, meaning the Zaydis here, he said, we consider them to be Muslims who are innovators, innovating Muslims. فَإِذَا تَقَدَّمُوا خَطْوَةً تَأَخَّرْنَا أُخْرَى. So if they step to us with one foot like this, we'll take a step back. In other words, we're not going to meet them with that same thing that they step to us with. Because the Sheikh is now using hikmah. Because what the Sheikh is going to go on to say is, they're living in societies that if they go too far, people can get killed. People can get murdered and harmed. Fighting can break out if these kinds of things take place. So therefore, the Sheikh is trying to give these people in Afghanistan some wisdom in how to deal with their people, looking at their circumstances, looking at the condition of the people that they are dealing with. Maybe in our circumstances, people may not get killed. But there is no doubt that people may be chased away and removed away from the correct understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, ikhwan, it's important for us, as we see in this narration, or these statements of our Sheikh, Sheikhuna Sheikh Muqbil, to understand the condition of the people. And then he goes on to say, ikhwan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana." What we mentioned earlier, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good exhortation. فَلَا بُدْ مِنْ دَعْوَةٍ بِحِكْمَةٍ وَمَعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَأَنْ تَعْرِفْ مِنْ تُوَاجِهِ. And the Shaykh says, so therefore it is incumbent upon us to call to the da'wah with wisdom and good exhortation and to know the people you are addressing. It is incumbent upon you, ikhwan, to understand the condition of the people that you are calling and inviting. And the Shaykh says, "Anta tuwajih akhaq al-Muslim." You are calling your brother. You are calling your brother Muslim. لا تستحل ماله ولا دمه ولا عرضه. It is not permissible his blood, nor his wealth, nor his honor. فإن قبل منك اليوم وإلا فسيقبل غدا أو بعد غد. Now listen to the Shaykh. The Shaykh is talking about having patience in the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says here, ya ikhwan, that when you call this individual, perhaps they will answer you. And if they don't answer you today, perhaps they will answer you tomorrow. And if they don't answer you tomorrow, perhaps they will answer you the next day. But the point is to have patience, to have sabr, and to continue to call the people with wisdom and good exhortation. And then the Shaykh, he says after this, ikhwan, وَأَمَّا أَنْ يَكُنُ الْإِنْتِصَالِ النَّفْسِ شَأْنُ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. But as for those people, ikhwan, who just want to defend themselves, they want it to be about the defense of themselves, their person. The Shaykh says that this is the affair of the people of the dunya. This is the affair of the people of the dunya. But rather the Shaykh is trying to say here, ikhwan, that we should be concerned with the people entering into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our affair and our concern is for the people entering the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not necessarily this is the defense of ourselves. And then the Shaykh, he goes on to mention, ikhwan, that you'll find that the people of the dunya, إِذَا خَالَفَهُمْ أَحَدْ نَبَذُوهُ وَرَمُوهُ. That if someone from the people of the dunya, if they oppose them or do opposite from what they are upon, he says they throw them away and they toss them to the side, and sometimes they give them alqab shari'ah. And sometimes they address them with the most harsh and nasty of name calling and the likes of this. So the Shaykh says, فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الدَّعْوَةِ بَرِفْقِ وَلِينَ. So therefore, it is a must to call to the way of your Lord with leniency and ease. لِأَنَّ أَهَلُ السُّنَّةِ يُمَثِّلُونَ السُّنَّةُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because the people of the sunnah, they follow the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he mentions, ikhwan, that Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we have not sent you except as a mercy to mankind. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, ikhwan, was a mercy to mankind. So therefore, what Shaykhuna Sheikh Muqbil is trying to explain for us here is that in following the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have to therefore also be a mercy to mankind, ikhwan. We have to be a mercy upon the people, calling them and inviting them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِالرِّفْقِ وَاللِّينِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, using wisdom and good exhortation, as we have mentioned earlier. And then we mentioned after this, ikhwan, وَقَدْ كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَامِلْ أَجْلَافِ الْأَعْرَابِ غَيْرْ مُعَامِلَ أَفَّادِ صُحَابَتِهِ. Now look at the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Shaykh, he mentions that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to treat those who were new to Islam, for example, or those who were from the Bedouins, as we see in the other narration. He used to treat them differently than he taught the knowledgeable ones from amongst them. The knowledgeable ones from amongst them. And the Shaykh, he mentions some examples of this. فَذَاكَ الَّذِي مِنْ أَفَادِ صُحَابَتِهِ يَقُلْ لَهُ إِنَّكَ إِمْرُؤٍ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٍ. He says about his companion, meaning Abu Dhar, you are a person who has in you some of the affairs of al-jahiliyyah. When he said about Bilal ibn Sawda, O son of a black woman or black slave, as it is mentioned in other wordings. The Prophet Muhammad got a bit rough. He got a bit rough with his companion there. Why? Because Abu Dharr was from the Afadil, from the most knowledgeable of the companions. From the most dutiful of the companions. And therefore Prophet Muhammad treated him differently than he treated the Arabi, the Bedouin Arab who urinated in the masjid. And in the other narration, the Shaykhuna mentions, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ. Are you a fitna maker, ya Mu'adh? When Mu'adh would recite in the Quran very long, he would go very long until the people, some of them would leave the salah, ikhwan, and the likes of this. So therefore it is mentioned in this narration that Prophet Muhammad was a bit rough with Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Why? Because he knew the level of Mu'adh. That Mu'adh was a scholar from the companions, knowledgeable, and therefore the Prophet could talk to him in this fashion, in this manner, and it wouldn't be that detrimental regarding him. Look at the narration of Umar ibn Khattab when he was reading the Torah, and Prophet Muhammad said, do you have some doubt, Ibn Khattab? And Umar said, rather, I'm only reading it as a means of reading it, just to take some reading. But the point of the narration is that Prophet Muhammad treated him in a fashion, in a way, because of who he was, his level, his knowledge. He treated him differently than he treated Mu'adh ibn al-Hakam al-Sulaymi in the other narration and the Bedouin. Because of their understanding, their level of understanding in those narrations, Ikhwan. So it is important for us to see what the Shaykh is trying to establish for us. You have to know the level of the people that you are addressing. You have to understand the condition of those who you're calling and those who you hope to enter into this Dawah Salafiyah along with you. And therefore, in understanding the level of the people, Ikhwan, it is going to take that which we will see in a second, bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. In another narration that mentions, to show how the Prophet ﷺ treated the people differently, that when a Bedouin Arab came to the Prophet ﷺ and grabbed him by the collar, ripped the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ up by the collar, Ikhwan. Huh? And when the companions wanted to do what? They wanted to grab this man and to get him. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, leave him. Da'uhu, leave him. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gave to him from some of the affairs of sadaqah. So he treated this Bedouin differently, Ikhwan, than he did those who had knowledge, those who had understanding. And what Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil is trying to establish for us, Ikhwan wa Akhawat, brothers and sisters, is understanding and knowing the level of people and addressing the people according to their level and understanding and not going over the heads of the people. Barakallahu feekum, as we'll also see in some of the coming narrations and statements, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil says, Ikhwan, فَالدَّعْوَةُ الْعَامِ تَحْتَاجْ إِلَى الصَّبْرٍ وَلَتَعْلِيفٍ. The Shaykh says, so the calling and inviting the common folk takes patience. It takes patience and it takes ta'leef. Yani trying to unite and bring the hearts together using this rifq, this lean and the likes of this. يَنْبَغِي أَن تَتَأَلَّفُوا بِالْعَامَةِ. The Shaykh says, you should try your best to be gentle and lenient, to try to call the people from the common folk to come towards you. He said, even to the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a portion of the zakat for those people to draw their hearts closer to al-Islam. To draw their hearts closer to al-Islam. So the Shaykh says, وَيَنْبَغِي أَيْضًا أَن تُحْشِنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. The Shaykh says, therefore it is upon us to be good to those individuals. وَأَنْتُمْ دُعَاتِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And you are callers to paradise. You are callers to paradise. لَا يَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُنْ دُعَاتِ إِلَى النَّارِ. You should not be callers to the hellfire. You should not be those who call to the hellfire. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَن نَكُونَ مُنَفِّرِينَ. And we should not be from those who chase people away. We should not be from those who run people away from the Dawah to Salafiyah. وَيَنْبَغِي أَن نَعْرِفْ مَن نَدْعُوهُ. And we should understand and know those who we are calling. And then the Shaykh goes on to mention in specific that we are calling the people of Yemen. And then he mentions the narration of the Prophet Muhammad where he says, الْإِيمَانِ يَمَانٍ وَالْحِكْمَةُ يَمَانِيَّةِ. That Iman is Yemeni and that wisdom is Yemaniyah, is Yemeni as well. So the Shaykh, he says, فَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَصْبِرْ عَلَى الْعَامِ. The Shaykh says, it is a must to be patient with the common folk. It is a must to be patient with the common folk. وَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَصْبِرْ أَيْضًا عَلَى طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ. And it's also incumbent to be patient upon seeking knowledge. وَلَا بُدْ أَن تَصْبِرْ أَيْضًا عَلَىٰ أَبِيكَ وَأُمِّكَ. وعلى أخيك وأختك وعلى مجتمعك. And the Shaykh said, it's also incumbent upon you to be patient with your brother and your mother and your father and your sister, and to be patient with your society, with your mujtami', with your people. وَلَا تَكُنْ فَضًّا غَلِيذًا. And do not be harsh, and do not be hard-hearted upon your people. For therefore, by doing this, ikhwan, you will make the people, the Shaykh says, your enemies, or they will have enmity towards you. And he says, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. And to Allah we complain. And I wanted to try to get through as much of this as I can tonight, inshallah ta'ala. And that is the problem with trying to do too much in too short of a time. Now, and I want to finish this, the last portion, at least I have to finish the last portion of this beautiful advice of Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil Ikhwan. The Shaykh, he says, فَنَنْصَحْ إِخْوَانَنَا الْقَائِمِينَ بِالدَّعْوَةِ هُنَالِكَ فِي أَفْغَانِسْتَانَ بِالرِّفْقِ وَاللِّينَ وَبِالدَّعْوَةِ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَإِلَى سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِتَقْدِيمِ الْأَهَمِ فَالْأَهَمِ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعُوا فَقَدْ رَوَى الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمٌ فِي صَحِيحَيْهِمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لِمُعَاذٍ إِنَّكَ سَتَأْتِي قَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَأَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ أن يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله فإنهم تعوك لذلك وإلى آخر الحديث, as the Shaykh mentions. So the Shaykh, he says, so I advise our brothers there who are implementing or establishing the da'wah in Afghanistan. He said, I advise them with leniency and ease in da'wah. And he said, in calling the people to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and putting precedence on the most important things first, giving precedence to the most important things in the call to Allah first and foremost, if they are able to. And he says, because Al-Bukhari narrated and Imam Muslim narrated in their two sahihs, that when Prophet Muhammad ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said, you are going to a people from the people of the book, so that the first thing you call them to is to testify that nothing has a right to be worshipped except for Allah, calling them to Tawheed, Ikhwan. In another wording, and yuwahidu, that they make tawheed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they obey you in that, then after that, then you call them to the salah. And if they obey you in that, into the zakat, if they obey you until the end of that particular narration. Now listen to what Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil says, Ikhwan, in the conclusion of this beautiful advice. He says, shahedna min hadha, annahu yubda bil aqeedah, wa bi tahbib ad-deen ila al-muslimin. This is important, Ikhwan. The Shaykh says, so we have witnessed from this that what we should begin with is the aqeedah, teaching the people the correct creed of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the tawheed of Allah. The Shaykh said, ahem falahem, the most important, and then what is lesser than that after it. And after teaching the aqeedah, he said, teach them to love the religion. Teaching the Muslims to love their deen, to love their religion. Listen to what the Shaykh says. فَالشَّخْصْ إِذَا حَبِّ الدِّينِ وأحب الله ورسوله مستعد أن يتنازل عن كل شيء يخالف دين الله. This is important, Ikhwan. Because if a person loves their religion, and if they love Allah and they love His Messenger, they are prepared to throw off anything that opposes their religion. If they love their deen, and they love Allah and they love His Messenger, they are prepared to throw away anything that opposes the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have to love their deen first. They have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and understand the affair of the religion. And that is why the Shaykh is mentioning here in the da'wah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach them tawheed first. And if they understand that from you, and if they obey you in that, then explain for them that they have to accept after this what? The five prayers in the day and the night to the end of the narration. Ahem falahem, Ikhwan. The most important things first. And then after this, the Shaykh is mentioning teaching them to love their religion. Because once they love their deen, Ikhwan, barakallahu fikum, the Shaykh says they are prepared, Ikhwan, to throw away anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, بَلْ رُبَّمَا يَكُونْ بَعْدَ أَيَامْ أَغْيَرْ مِنْكَ. Rather, the day may come where they'll have more jealousy for their religion than you. Huh? Those of us who ikhwan, who are being so harsh on these people, so rough on these people, if we were to teach them with leniency and ease and cause them to love the religion and cause them to love the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day may come where they'll have more jealousy for the religion than you. This is important for us, ikhwan, barakallahu feekum. وَأَنْفَعْ مِنْكَ لِلْإِسْلَامِ And maybe they'll be more beneficial to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe they'll be more beneficial to Allah's religion than even you. You don't know, ikhwan. So therefore have rifq wal-leen and leniency and call the people with wisdom and good exhortation. I want to try to read as much as I can, inshallah ta'ala, of the advice of Shaykh Rabi'. Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala in this regard as well. The Shaykh was asked regarding those who are something have a bit of roughness and harshness, Shaykh Rabi' in the da'wah. And again, as we'll see from the Shaykh, that there's a time for roughness and harshness. We don't want anyone to misunderstand our statement here, right? There's a time for this. Fi kulli maqam maqal. There's a time and place for everything. But one needs to know the circumstances and the conditions of those instances. And we advise you to look at an article that we translated some time ago from Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, on this issue of when to apply harshness and when not to apply harshness. It's a very beneficial article from Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's upon the different websites, Salafi Talk and Sunnah Publishing and Salafi Publications and the different Salafi websites. The Sheikh says, أَنَا أُوْسِيقُمْ جَمِيعًا بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ I advise all of you first and foremost with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَآخِ فِيهِ And having brotherhood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْلِينَ وَالْرِفْقُ وَالْلُطْفِ And to have leniency and ease and gentleness with the people. فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْرِفْقِ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ For indeed Allah loves rifq in all matters. Indeed Allah loves ease in all matters. And then the Shaykh says, وَالْعُلَمَاءَ يَقُولُونَ مَنْ شَدَّدَ نَفَّرَ And some of the scholars say that when a person is shadid, too harsh, then they chase people away. When they are too rough and too harsh, then they run people away. وَالرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And I want to make a point here, Ikhwan, before we move on. That for many years, Ikhwan, people have accused Shaykhuna Shaykh Rabi' with being harsh and severe upon the people. And remember a personal story, Ikhwan, that when we visited Shaykh Rabi' some years ago, And there's some incidents that had taken place where we had said some things, يعني barakallahu feekum, and some of the people had kind of gotten a bit upset with some of the statements that we had made regarding refutation and the likes of this. So we went to Sheikh Rabi' for some advice, and we went to some of the people for some advice. And we went to the home of Sheikh Rabi' and we explained to the Sheikh the circumstances and situations that had taken place. And the Sheikh looked at me and said, Ya Malik, khafif. Be easy on the people. Stop being so harsh upon the people. The Shaykh gave me a rough way to go, Ikhwan, barakallahu feekum. He said, Ya Malik Khafif, be easy with the people. Don't be harsh upon the people. Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala. And this was, and I'm not exaggerating, Ikhwan, this had to be at least 8 years ago. So for these individuals who claim that the Shaykh is so harsh and so rough, Ikhwan, wallahi, the Shaykh has always advised us with ease and leniency with people, has always advised us with this, and has always warned us against going to extremes in the affairs of the religion. And to the point that none of you ever even heard of a refutation of the Haddadiyya except from Shaykh Rabi'. Who were the people who refuted the Haddadiyya from their early days when Mahmud Haddad and them began their fitna? It was the likes of Shaykh Rabi' and the likes of the Muskaz of Medina and other than them who refuted those individuals. So the Shaykh, he said after this, وَالرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ يَسِرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِرُوا وَبَشِرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا Be easy with the people and do not be difficult. And give glad tidings and do not chase people away. So the Shaykh, he says, It is upon the person of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah to have the etiquettes that are noble and lofty. And he says, Min as-sabri wal hilmi wal lutf wal rifq. To have from those etiquettes of patience and forbearance and mercy and kindness. وَمَا شَاكَلَ ذَلِكَ And what is like that? تَلَطَّفَ لِمَنْ تَرَى أَنَّهُ سَلَفِي To have ease and leniency, ikhwan, with those who they see, to be salafi, لَكِنْ فِيهِ ضَعْفِ But as this person has some weakness, they have some weaknesses. But the Shaykh says still to meet them in this way. وَلَا تُقَابِلْهُ بِالْجَفْوَى وَالْقَصْوَى وَالْعُنْفِ وَالشِّدَّةِ. But not to meet them, Ikhwan, with harshness and roughness and hard-heartedness. He says, أَشِّدَّةَ فَإِنَّ هَذَا بَغِيدٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. For indeed this is hated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed these actions are hated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الرِّفْقِ وَالْلِينِ. It is important, Ikhwan, for us to have ease and leniency in these matters. And also, Ikhwan, I just want to also mention, this was also the advice of Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah ta'ala. When we were in Damascus with Shaykhuna Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah ta'ala, it was the same way, Ikhwan. He would not allow us to be harsh and rough with one another and treat one another in this fashion. But rather, he would advise us with leniency and ease. Even if someone came to the camp, Ikhwan, who was new to the da'wah or didn't understand the deen or the likes of this, the Shaykh would advise us to go to that person and call that person and invite that person and be good to that person so as to bring him over to the da'wah salafiyah. So this is what we learn from our scholars, Ikhwan. This is what we learn from our ulama, barakallahu fikum, and which we take, as we see, from the narration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But listen to what the Shaykh goes on to say. And this is important, Ikhwan, because the Shaykh is giving advice to all parties involved now. وَعَلَى هَؤُلَى الْمُتَسَاهِلِينَ أَنْ يَتَحَرَّكُوا وَأَنْ يَجِدُّوا فِي الْعَمَلِ. That is also upon those individuals who are being too lenient or too heedless, we should say, in these matters of understanding, that they move themselves and become serious about their works and their actions. وَأَنْ يَحْرِسُوا عَلَى كَسْبِ إِخْوَانِهِمْ. And to be diligent as well in trying to bring about brotherhood with their brothers. وَأَنْ يَحْرِسُوا عَلَى مَحَبَّتِهِمْ. And to also be concerned and diligent in finding love from their brothers as well. وَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْحِرْسِ مِنَ الطَّرْفَيْنِ. So this desire and diligence must come from both parties. It must come from all parties. And this is the advice that we give to the individuals, Ikhwan. And we talked earlier about how Prophet Muhammad ﷺ took the opportunity to teach both parties, to teach all parties involved. These are opportunities for us, Ikhwan, to educate the people in all circumstances, in all situations. So the Shaykh, he says after this, Ikhwan, he says, أَنَا أَقُوْ غَيْرْ مَرَّ. I have said more than one time, and I say more than once. نَحْنُ إِذَا سَقَتَ الْوَاحِدْ مِنَّا يَعْنِي يَكُنْ مِثْلِ الطَّبِيبِ يَأْخُذُ هَذَا الْمَرِيدِ الْمُسْتَشْفَى. The Shaykh said, I am saying, as I have said over and over again, that if one of us becomes sick, then we should be like the doctor. We should become like a doctor, a physician. We should take that person to the hospital to become well and not to increase in the disease. And not to increase in the disease. Ibta'idu an ash-shiddah, the Shaykh says. So move away from this harshness that destroys. He said this particular type that destroys. And also an-tasahul al-mudhi' al-haq. And also from that type of leniency on the other end of the spectrum, that also, Ikhwan, removes one from the truth. وَتَرَاحَمُوا فِي مَا بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَنَاصِحُوا بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. And the Shaykh says, so have mercy and leniency between yourselves and have advice for one another with wisdom and good exhortation. And then the Shaykh, he says, after this, Ikhwan, that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yudhib hadhi al-furqa, that Allah will remove from us this division and this differing. And he says, and that the people تَحَلِّي بِالْأَخْلَاقِ الْفَادِلَةِ, and that the people adorn themselves with the best of character and the best of conduct. من الأطراف كلها, from all parties involved. From all parties involved. And I'm going to end, Ikhwan, on another piece of advice, and we'll just read the translation for time's sake, inshallah ta'ala, from Shaykh Rabi as well, when he was asked regarding this issue of being rough or like this with the people. And the Shaykh, he said, the principle that should be with you as the foundation should be the guidance of the people and entering them into the sunnah. This is the principle that should be with all of us. Guiding the people and bringing them into the sunnah with us. And saving them from misguidance. This is the principle that you should have with you. Have patience, bear harms, and so on. And after all of that, the final thing is the catarization. And what he's talking about now is the narration of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, آخر الدواء الكي. That the final or the last, when nothing else works, then you do the catarization, the burning. Not first. Right? That should be the last resort. is what the Sheikh is saying here regarding boycotting and the likes of this and the shidda and the roughness. This is a last resort. So the Sheikh, he says after this, let your ways remain wise. Let your ways remain wise. Like we saw from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let your ways remain wise, Ikhwan. By Allah the merciful and the wise. He says, by Allah the merciful and wise ways. The one who perceives that you are not exalting over him, when he perceives that you are not trying to puff yourself up over him, he will not enter with you. If he sees that, we should say. If a person thinks that you're trying to be haughty and arrogant and puff yourself up over a person and to look down upon a person, to look down at your nose upon a person, the Shaykh says he will not enter with you. He won't come into that which you're calling him to. He'll look at you with disdain and scorn. Why would I want to be like a person like this? So the Shaykh said, if a person perceives that you are looking down at them and exalting yourself over them, then he will not enter with you. He will not desire the truth from you. However, be humble with him. Be humble. And humility, Ikhwan, is a characteristic of the Anbiya. It is a characteristic of the prophets and the messengers. It should not be seen as weakness. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned, Ikhwan, in Islah, in reparation of the things between us, that no circumstances will ever be repaired between two adversaries until someone lowers their wing. Until someone humbles themselves, Ikhwan. Reparation does not take place. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. So he says, Ikhwan, he will not desire the truth from you. However, be humble with him. Will he not go along with you? Be gentle with him. Call him with wisdom. And if Allah wills, many people enter into the deen of Allah, into the da'wah to Salafiyah because of this. Listen to what the Shaykh says after this, Ikhwan. All the people of India used to be deviant, grave worshippers. And then the people of Hadith came with knowledge and wisdom. The likes of Mubarak 40, the likes of Azim Abadi, the likes of Dihlawi and other than them from the scholars of Hadith, Ikhwan, who called the people of India. And the Shaykh is going to mention some others. The Shaykh says, Ikhwan, that the people of India used to be deviant, grave worshippers. And then the people of Hadith came with knowledge and wisdom. They won over millions of people. They won over the hearts of millions of people. He says, with their wisdom and knowledge, just three or four from the senior students of Sheikh Nadir Hassan, three or four of the senior students of Sheikh Nadir Hassan, they turned India upside down with their wisdom and their knowledge. There was one amongst them that Allah put to trial. Now he's talking about the students of Nadir Hassan. There was one from amongst them who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put to some trial, Ikhwan. An innovator came and struck him with a pickaxe in his head. And it mentions until he was finished and he fell and the person thought he had died. Then they came and took this criminal and threw him in the prison. When the man got up from his unconsciousness, when he was well again from being hit across his head, this man said, the student of Nadir Hassan said, this is the one who struck me. So where has he gone? Where is this individual? They said they have thrown him in prison. So the student of Nadir Hassan said, never. He should not be imprisoned. I have pardoned him. But listen, it goes on. So they say, no, this individual's in prison. It's over. He's finished. Leave him as he is. So they refuse to release him. So this man used to go to the prison and spend time, firstly, with this individual in the prison, and also would go to the offspring, the children of that criminal. And he would take care of them and look after them. And he would call them and invite them. So when that man came out of prison, he entered into the Dawah to Salafiyah and became from the students of that person. When he was once from amongst the senior criminals of that land. Look at what wisdom and good exhortation and patience and forbearance and the call to Allah will bring forth. It brings forth fruits, Ikhwan, that you cannot imagine. From three or four of the senior students of Nadir Hassan who use this type of wisdom and this type of hikmah, Ikhwan, but about millions of people, Ikhwan, who entered into the Dawah to Salafiyah and the understanding of the Sunnah in that particular land. And then Sheikh Rabi goes on, Ikhwan, and he mentions, there used to be a person whose name was Abu al-Mahjoub, who was in Sudan. And he was from the first of those who spread Salafiyah in Sudan. And they used to beat him, and they used to restrain him by tying his feet, and they would throw him outside the masjid. And as soon as he would get up, he would dust himself off, and he would not show any anger or envy or hatred to anyone. And he would not seek revenge or anything. He would just smile, and then he said he would just smile, and then many of the people would enter into the Dawah of Salafiyah because of this individual. They used to throw him outside of the masjid, Ikhwan. They would beat him and tie him and treat him in this fashion, but he remained patient. He would smile and continue to call to the Dawah of Salafiyah. Bil hikmah wa ma'idhas al hasana, with wisdom, with proofs and evidences, Ikhwan. And so how many people, as the Shaykh mentions, entered into the Dawah of Salafiyah based upon this individual alone? And then the Shaykh, he says, Ikhwan, this point is that I do not expect that all of you will reach this level. However, I desire that my brothers, that you have something of wisdom and knowledge and patience and good intent with you. And that the intent is to guide the people, may Allah bless you, by Allah with wise mannerisms and with gentleness and forbearance. And if you do, the people will accept your dawah. And when you have nothing with you but harshness and severity. And then he mentions the statement of Allah to the Prophet Muhammad in the translation. And had you been severe and hard-hearted, then they would have all dispersed from around you. Allah is saying to Prophet Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, that if you were harsh and hard-hearted, the people would have fled from you. This is the result of roughness and hard-heartedness and harshness, Ikhwan. These are those fruits. Again, as we mentioned, there's a time for that. And I want to mention that at the end of this talk, inshallah ta'ala, a statement from Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi about the importance of knowing when to use harshness and the importance in applying it in certain circumstances, as we will see, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But it takes knowledge of the circumstances and the understanding of the people. The Shaykh, he says, after this, and he says, this is the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what Allah said to him in the Quran. My brothers, may Allah bless you. Some of our brothers have this additional or this added severity and harshness, which only expels from Salafiyah, but which does not enter the people into Salafiyah. This harshness and severity that expels and pushes people away from Salafiyah, but does not enter them into it. This is present now amongst us. So those who expel, upon them is to repent to Allah. Those who chase people away from this Dawah to Salafiyah, those who are harsh and hard-hearted and chase people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh said it is upon them to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah. Tawbah, Ikhwan. To repent to Allah the Mighty and Majestic, and that they improve their manners, and that they be guides to Allah, that they guide people to Allah. May Allah bless you. You must adopt these ways. Let not the principle according to you be boycotting, roughness like this. He said, boycotting is legislated. As we have mentioned, roughness is legislated. However, when it brings about benefit, and that is the point, that when the harshness and the boycotting brings about benefit, then do so. So therefore it goes back to having wisdom and understanding and how to apply everything to every circumstance and situation. And when we are not from those who have this understanding, Ikhwan, what do? فَسَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكَرْ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَتَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. We need to have more respect for the scholars of Islam and refer back to them. But one of the problems that we find amongst our people, Ikhwan, we have too much, yani, we're mu'jab bi-nafsina, yani, anfusina, yani, we're amazed with ourselves. We are amazed with ourselves, Ikhwan. Everyone from amongst us believes ourselves to be in that position, Ikhwan. As Sheikh Rabi mentioned another tape, Ikhwan, in the Siha. He mentioned, Ikhwan, everyone sees himself as a mufti. Kullukum muftun. Everyone's a mufti. Everyone can give fatwa. Everyone can give edicts in the deen of Allah. Everybody sees themselves to be at this level. Amazed with ourselves, Ikhwan. And this is a problem. But rather, Ikhwan, when we see someone in these conditions, if we do not have the ability to call them, then go to someone else who does. Refer this sister who may have a pink khimar on to a sister who has more knowledge, more understanding. Refer the affair back to the imam of the masjid, the students of knowledge in the masjid, so as to gain understanding of how to work with this sister and how to call her and to explain to her the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to taking it upon oneself and perhaps being from those who block from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, when it brings about benefit, if you were in the time of Imam Ahmed, for example, then boycott, as he says. But in whose time are you? May Allah bless you. So forbearance and patience is vital. May Allah bless you. And bringing people closer to goodness and entering them into goodness. This is what we call the people to, and this is what we want for the people, Ikhwan, in general. So in my conclusion, Ikhwan, to the brothers and the sisters, I remind us with that which we have been reminded from in these narrations, these ayat and these hadith, and these statements of our scholars, and the importance of patience and forbearance, and calling the people with wisdom and good exhortation, and understanding the levels of the people you are inviting, and beginning with the most important things first and foremost. And as our Sheikh Mukbil mentioned, calling the people to tawheed and the aqeedah, and causing them to love their religion. Causing the people to love their deen. And as for the statement that I mentioned earlier, Ikhwan, there is no doubt that harshness has its place. How many narrations have we learned and mentioned regarding this? The narration of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that's al-anwat, when those companions, when they saw that tree and it had upon it those weapons, and they said, make for us a tree like the tree that those people have. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that indeed this is like that which we heard from the Yahud, from Bani Israel. That they said, make for us a God like their God. And the Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi mentioned, Ikhwan, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used a bit of roughness and harshness here because of the severity of the situation. That this was a matter of people, yani, making these particular statements that were connected to the statements that, like the statements of the Yahud. So therefore, because of the severity of the situation, the magnitude of the situation, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had to use a bit of harshness. But as Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi goes on to mention, the Prophet assessed the situation. And because of his knowledge and wisdom, he applied that which was correct in that circumstance. So therefore, it goes back to having wisdom. It goes back to having knowledge. It goes back to having understanding of what to apply in what condition. And since many of us, Ikhwan, we have to admit to ourselves that we may not have that ability. That at the very least, if we don't, Ikhwan, then let's refer the people and return them back to someone who does. Well, Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi went on to mention that advice and other advices, where he said what is important is that people follow the sunnah and accept the truth, not that they take it from us personally. Huh? So this is what is important for us, Ikhwan. And these are the things that we wanted to mention tonight, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka ta'ala. And if there's anything, Ikhwan, that the people want to ask or to clarify or to correct, then let us do so now, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka ta'ala.